All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Contractor Fight podcast. I'm excited today to talk to my guest here for you. I've known my guest for a few years now, and she's doing some pretty special things in the water feature community. And so we're going to talk here in a minute with Laura Rialli, who's a seasoned marketing professional. She's also the co-owner of a water feature company outside of Philly called Aqua Rialli. And she has taken her knowledge of marketing and ponds and combine them into a company named Pond Tent. And you can learn more at www.mypondtent.com, where she offers automated marketing solutions to the pond contractor community. Welcome to the Contractor Fight, Laura. How are you doing today?
Well, thank you. I'm very excited to be here.
I am too. I know this has been on our calendar for a while, and we, I've been excited to talk to you because I know that, you know, this is a, what did you start this thing in November, December of 2016?
Yep.
Okay. And what, let's rewind. It talks about you being a seasoned marketing professional before you started the pond business, correct?
I have my degree in journalism and then my master's in integrated marketing communications with a specialty in public relations. And that's from Northwestern University. And after that, I started doing public relations for a number of clients right away. When my husband and I got married 18 years ago, we decided to start a landscape company. So I was always the owner, the president of the landscape company, but primarily I worked on my own stuff. And that's so my husband really ran the landscaping and I ran my marketing company. And I grew the marketing company really big. We ended up doing product sampling for people for a company called Cabot, which is a creamery located in Vermont. And I was the market manager for Philadelphia. I had 17 people working under me, and it got to be too much. And during that time, both my mother and son ended up needing a lot of help for various reasons. And I kind of had to really slow down and focus on both of them. During that time, I decided it made sense to, you know, I needed something to do that wasn't as all intensive as having the full marketing company at the time, because my son needed a lot of therapies and my mother needed a lot of support. So I ended up deciding to take over our landscape company and turn it into a pond company. So before I got involved, the company was called Rialli Landscape Design. And we did okay as a landscape company, but then I went in, I rebranded everything. That's how we came up with the name Aqua Rialli. And in just 3 years, we went from $200,000 to $500,000. And a lot of that can be attributed to marketing. I just took over and used everything I knew from my other world and used it in the world of ponds. People started noticing and asking questions and wanting me to do this for them and this for them. And people were really impressed because not a lot of people have both those skill sets, ponds and marketing. So a couple people asked me if I would help them. And that kind of turned into Pond Tent, which is a company that I run where I help other pond companies reach their full marketing potential.
So let's back up to when you were Rialli Landscape Services.
Rialli Landscape Design.
Landscape Design. Okay. What, when you came in, why did you make the shift to water features only? Like, what was the reasoning behind that?
I was always told in graduate school to find a niche and fill it. And that had always stuck with me is that and when we were doing landscaping, we couldn't compete with foreign labor. We paid our guys on the books. We did everything the way we were supposed to. And we just weren't competing with price well. And I didn't feel like we had enough strong other items, you know, to support us. And my husband, Matt, had been to a couple presentations. He'd been to a couple build-upon days that they had. Up at our distributor, and he was really, and we looked into it in the early 2000s and we built a pond and then we kind of stepped away. But then when we were talking and still talking to this distributor and the people at Aquascape, we realized this could be a huge potential for us and there's a lot more money to be made in specializing.
Absolutely. You know, it's so much easier to differentiate when you're a specialist and you're also, you know, you're a bigger fish in a smaller pond. No pun intended. like that. Yeah. So awesome. Well, let's do this. Talk to me a little bit about the, if you could, it's the magic wand question, right? If you could wave a magic wand over the average water feature contractor or crap, the average contractor in general, over their marketing, what would you address first?
Their brand. I would address the way they present themselves. Meaning your truck should have a logo or information on it. You should have a business card. You should have a website. You should have a Facebook page. And then even more importantly, excuse me, I can't even tell you how many websites I've been on that say copyright 2014. Like, really? Right. Just keep it updated. So the number one thing I would, if I could wave a magic wand over everyone, I would make sure that they represented their brand well.
You know, that's huge because, you know, like you said, the first thing you did when you took over is you worked on your company identity and your brand and the consistency and all that stuff. And I've known you for a few years, and right out of the gate with Aquarelli, I thought, you know, that it was all first rate stuff. And what blows my mind is how a guy will go out and he'll drop $30,000 or whatever it costs for a dingo, you know, right, or something like that, some sort of machinery, but he won't drop $5,000 on a website and a corporate identity that really tells the right story. And that's, you know, water feature contractor, painting contractor, whatever, we're working in large chunks of money. Mm-hmm. And when we're working in large chunks of money, we have to tell the right story that we're the real deal. And so much of that starts with that first impression. So, what was it that, talk to me a little bit about how you went about choosing the name Aquarelli, how you went about, rebranding everything. What did that process look like?
We actually worked with a branding specialist. And I don't remember where we met her. I think we met her through the Sustainable Business Network. So what I did right away when I knew I was going to get involved is I started doing what I do for all my businesses, and I started networking. And I started talking to people, and I started meeting with people, and just trying to learn a little more about why things were how they were. And through that process, I met this woman who was a branding expert. And we came up with a deal where we actually built a pond for her for a lot. I mean, we bartered a lot of money for this name and logo, and I've never regretted it. And so what she did was while we built her a pond, she went and looked at all these different names. She looked at, you know, how movement of the logo and all this stuff. And she came up with three names. And I don't wish I could remember them all, because Aquarelli, obviously, that's our last name is Reali. It was just such a neat play on words, and it just clicked right away. And I think one of them was Aqua del Sol. So that we just did. So she had about three names, and then she gave us a bunch of different logo designs. Mm-hmm. And again, the one we went with, if you ever look at our logo, the E's are water ripples.
Yep, they are.
So she explained how she did it, and we were just really, really happy with the whole process.
That's awesome. I love that. So you're working with contractors now, automating some marketing stuff and things like that. So when somebody comes to you guys, water feature contractor comes to you, where do you start with them?
When they come to me through Pontent?
Yeah. When they come to you through Pontent. I mean, listen, what I love about Pontent is that you live in this world. You are, I get your tips that you sent out, and I get your email newsletter and all that other stuff. And what's great is that you live in this industry, you work in this industry, you are literally sharing with other contractors what you're doing to be more profitable in your business and things like that. So when somebody contacts Pontent and says, hey, I need more business, where do you start?
We start by looking at them. Like, we can't start necessarily right away with just doing the weekly tips and getting that. I need to make sure things are cleaned up and in order first. The number one thing that we need to have is a database or any sort of list of customers. and most of my customers first started did not have that. They're getting better now because now more people, I've taught more people, and you know, you have too, and we've really explained what a CRM is and why it's needed. But I can't do anything for you unless you have a list of people. So that's where we start. And the other thing I do is I do a review. I'm going to look at your Facebook page. I'm going to look at your website, and I'm going to look at your signature on your email and just make sure that everything matches and everything's up to date.
Yeah. That consistency is huge. You know, as you're talking about the making sure the CRM is in place. When I started my painting business, I think I operated without any sort of customer database. This is how stupid I was.
You're not alone.
For the first three years.
Yeah.
And I bet you I left $2 million on the table.
In sales.
Just because I didn't keep in touch with people. I didn't build relationship with people. And so somebody gets this CRM in place. And here's something that I hear a lot and something I also have experienced, because I'm the type of personality type where I'm not naturally detail oriented. I'm not, I don't like following rules. So sometimes I know guys are having a really hard time with just the physical act of getting somebody's info into the thing. Okay. Like somebody calls the office. What's your process look like? Cause I know you're doing what you do for other people in Aqua Reality. So what's your process? Somebody calls your office. They say, hey, I want to bid on a pond. How do you walk us through what that process looks like, how to get them into your world so that now you can start nurturing them?
So when somebody reaches out to us, it depends if they reach out via phone or email. If they reach out via phone, they're going to most likely leave a message or talk to me. I put all their information right away into our less annoying CRM. And then I put them into groups and pipelines. And the groups and pipelines are going to dictate how they receive their messages and when. So as soon as anyone reaches out, first thing I do is put them into a group called Potential New Customer. And then I sync that to MailChimp, and instantly they get an email from Aqua Reality. And the email, I have two versions, one if you send a picture and one if you don't. And if you don't send a picture, you get an email from my husband, Matt, and it's his video and he's explaining why it's important to send a picture. If you have sent a picture, then you just get, thank you for your picture. Here's what we provide. Here's what we do. So that kind of starts an expectation. And I know clients really love that, because not only am I getting back to them, I'm telling them what we offer and what they need to do.
Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and then they go into, that's a 5-series automation series, as I call it. And they get 5 different emails within 5 weeks explaining different parts of our business.
So what I love about that is right from the get-go, you are taking control of the process,
yep.
You know, and really dictating, hey, this is how we work. And you know, I hear contractors all the time talking about when things go wrong on a job, or, you know, customers just say, hey, just come out and give me a bid. And you guys on the flip side are basically saying, no, we're going to take control of the process because we know what it takes to build a beautiful water feature, beautiful project, make it a great experience. And basically, this is how we work. And, you know, if you don't like it, tough.
Pretty much. And some people are upset and annoyed, and that's fine. As we always say, they probably weren't our customer anyway.
Right. And, you know, just kind of a side note here. I know a lot of people listen to this, you know, they hear, we talk a lot about pre-qualification and stuff like that in the sales process. Guys, when a customer gives you a hard time, I'm going to give you a real simple word track to use right now. When a customer gives you a hard time about following your process, just call a timeout and just say, hey, listen, can I speak openly for a minute here, Mary or Joe or whoever? And they're going to say, yeah. And you say, listen, you know, why did you reach out to me? Well, my neighbor, John, said that you guys did really good work. Okay, so John said we did really good work. And if you hop on Google, you're going to see a lot of nice reviews and things like that. And, you know, listen, the reason that we get so many nice reviews, the reason that John was so happy with us, is that we follow a process every time. That way we can guarantee you get exactly what you want and you have a great experience. And guys, when you spell it out like that, people are going to be so much more likely to follow your process. So be bold in your process, stick to your guns, and remember that you're the expert. All right. So that public service announcement was totally off script here today. But anyway, it was a squirrel moment, but I definitely wanted to point that out, that I love what you do is, you know, you have that, you know, hey, send us a picture. And then if you don't send us a picture, you get a video of Matt saying, this is why it's important.
Yep. And this is all, these are things I do for people because I know that a lot of people have these same problems, and I actually can set up the less annoying CRM for them, create the pipelines, create the groups, create the MailChimp, make everything sync, figure out exactly what your pipeline should be. So I know I have a husband who's in the business who is just like every one of your listeners, if not, you know, worse, which I mean, he's very, that's terrible. I mean, he is not inclined to think in a marketing way.
Right.
He's absolutely brilliant at what he does.
Yeah.
But he doesn't, he didn't come from a marketing background or an organizational background. It's really hard for him. And we had trouble together. I would put things on little tiny pieces of paper and give them to him, and he would lose them. And then he'd ask me where something was, and I'd look four places. So we were both a mess. It wasn't just him. It was me too. And then 2 years ago, it became my goal. My winter goal was to figure this out and create some sort of database. And that's how I got involved in Less Annoying CRM. And I ended up loving it so much, I now do it for other people.
Hey, listen, if you're a contractor that is struggling growing their business, I want to make sure that you are aware of the Contractor Fight Accelerate Group. This group was designed to help you level up your business IQ. In the areas of marketing and leadership and production and profit and cash flow, you know, creating a vision, creating a budget, all these different things, guys, everything that you would ever need to know to educate yourself, to take those next steps in your business, you can find and accelerate. We have weekly live calls where you can ask questions. You have access to a membership site with worksheets and spreadsheets, and there's weekly homework to keep you on track to help you move forward and accelerate your success. So head to thecontractorfight.com/accelerate to check it out. And I look forward to seeing you on the other side. Just off the hip here, what are some of the you know, from your own business, maybe from some of your clients' business, what are some of the, I don't know, before and after shots? Like, here's you or a client who never stayed in touch with people with automation, and then now they are staying in touch. And what's been the difference in profit and business and stuff like that?
For Aqua Reale, just by using the CRM, we made over $100,000 more the first year.
Okay, that's like free money.
It was crazy how much money we were losing and how many sales we were losing and how many people. And that isn't even the bigger pond stuff. This is just getting everyone in one place and sending out the contracts for the services in January and having all my processes available. And without doing anything else, that was $100,000. So, and then we probably made another $100,000 from people that reacted to the information we were sending out.
Well, I know you've shared with me multiple times where, you know, a client that maybe you did work for 2-3 years ago, out of the blue, will hit reply to one of your, you know, monthly or weekly newsletters, tips or whatever. And they'll go, hey, thanks for the tips. These are great. By the way, we just bought a new house and want a new water feature. Or whatever.
Yep, we had one lady last year. She's like, oh yeah, I've been reading your tips and following you on Facebook for 2 years. I had no idea who she was. She said, and now I'm ready. I want an $8,500 pond. So, great, okay. And she kind of sold herself, or I had sold her over the years.
Well, it's building relationship. You know, people buy from those that they know, like, and trust. And this is a great way to automate that. And listen, I think nothing takes the place of the personal touch. I mean, we are a service industry.
Yep.
And we shake hands with people and look them in the eye and stuff. But as your business grows and you get more and more people in your database, you obviously have to have some automation in place. Yeah. And things like that, or else it'll just never get done. All the good intentions in the world will never get done. So, what do you got for us? Just maybe most crazy story of a pond contractor that's worked with you. Maybe they weren't keeping in touch with somebody, now they are, and what their business looks like now.
Oh yeah, definitely. We have a very large client who I couldn't even believe, because this guy is major and he does wholesale and retail and install. And they were working off of little pieces of paper. Mm-hmm. And that just boggled my mind. This big company and a secretary, and she said, and so she joked, she called me the necessary evil. I don't feel like that's, is that a good thing or not? But what I did for them is that I cleaned everything up, and I think they've made over $100,000 more now by keeping track of things. And I know too that they've gotten responses. We've sent out the weekly pond tips, and they'll get one of them was for fish they were selling, and they got an email 2 minutes later. Oh, we forgot to put in our $500 fish order.
There you go.
So people, there's two ways. People react directly. But the majority, you're not necessarily going to see. You're just going to see the overall, you know, it overall went up, because it's a lot of people aren't necessarily going to reach out right away. And these are the kind of things like you talk about. They take patience and it takes time. And if you're looking for to send a newsletter and have 50 responses, that's not going to happen.
Right. And so that kind of leads me to the next thing I want to talk about a little bit. You know, in the marketing world, we throw around the word nurturing. Mm-hmm. Okay. Can you explain for somebody who might be listening to this that just doesn't totally know what that might mean in the marketing world?
Sure. Nurturing is just, it's developing and keeping relationships. And they can take years to happen. And we nurture everyone from our customers. And we do that by sending out. Now, it's really, really important that the information we send out be useful. It wouldn't do anything if I sent out, here's what we're selling this week, here's what we're offering this week. That's not nurturing. That's pushing your sales on someone. Nurturing is offering something and doing a give and take relationship. So we always have helpful tips and advice in our both our pond tips and our newsletters.
So give us an example of that. What are some things that you would send people that nurture them along and add value to them?
Well, this week we just sent out, we've been doing a series of fall tips. And it's, you know, you can hire us to do your shutdown, or you can do it yourself. And if you do it yourself, don't forget to do this, or don't forget, you know, and sometimes I tell people tips ranging from, hey, check your fish. If they are rubbing up against each other, there's a chance there's a parasite. Mm. And that's just a good basic tip. And people, again, are just, they're getting educated and feeling like we remember them.
Well, I can't tell you how many times I hear, I'll just rewind back to when I was, you know, in Chicago with my painting business. I would go into somebody's house and I'd go, hey, tell me about the last time you hired a painting contractor. And they'd be like, oh, it was a great experience and he did great work and blah, 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 blah. We really liked him. His name was Joe. And I'm like, oh, well, why didn't you call Joe? Why am I here? And they're like, oh, we can't find him.
Right.
You know, because they forget the name of the guy's business. They don't have his card. They don't have his number. And he's not been keeping in touch. And so listen, so many people that are listening right now are doing amazing work, are, you know, bending over backwards to deliver a great experience for their clients. And they would hire you over and over and over again if you would just stay on their radar. And that's what, you know, this is going to help you do.
And you know, Tom, I actually use your story as an example when I talk to people. And that is when you don't mind me telling it.
Yeah.
That is when you painted the inside of a woman's house for years.
Yep.
And you drove by her house once and you saw someone else painting the outside. And you called her and said, hey, what's up? And didn't she tell you she didn't know you painted outside?
Yeah. Oops.
Right? So I use that. It's a great example, though. So that's why the newsletter is so important. Because I remind people of what we do and they stay. And then we've had people call, oh, do you still do this? You know, and of course we still do it. And so we don't get that anymore. People know what we still do and we stay top of mind. And that's really, really important with the referral sources you have too, because people are going to remember to refer you when you're in their mind.
And listen, and this is pretty, you know, obviously when somebody hires a company like Pontent to do this for them, it's kind of a set it and forget it.
Yes.
Right. Okay. And that's actually, you know, there are certain things that I believe in your marketing that you need to totally take control over, but then there are things that you can set and forget and they magically get done each week. And that frees you up as the owner to work on some of the bigger picture items in the business.
Exactly. Because there are things that you have to do, but there's also things you don't have to do.
Yeah. I mean, why reinvent the wheel? You know, these are, and what's great is, you know, with Pontent, you are industry specific, and really meeting a need that just about, well, every pond contractor has. So
yeah. Keep in touch with your people.
There you go. So what haven't I asked you that would be important for a pond contractor or any contractor for that matter to know about marketing or automation or nurturing or any of that stuff?
I think the first thing people have to understand is that no matter what, you can't do it all in your head. You just can't. And I like to give an example of that I gave on my podcast of when I was studying for graduate school. I was studying for the GREs. And there's logic puzzles and this whole section on logic. And I used to do the logic in my head. And I'd get the answer eventually, sometimes. And then they taught me how to track it down. And I said, this is cheating. You guys, I have the answer right here. They're like, yeah, isn't that amazing? So when I stopped doing it in my head and wrote it down, the answer was literally right in front of me. And I think that says a lot about how we work, because you can't, you know, I just talked to someone last night. Where's your marketing plan? I have one. Can you share it with me? It's really complicated. Well, okay, that's not helping. It shouldn't be complicated. It doesn't need to be complicated. If you can't explain something to someone, it's probably not working for you either.
Mm.
So that's my suggestion, is to make sure you have a system, make sure you have a marketing plan, make sure you have a CRM, and make sure you have a detailed plan on how you're going to reach people.
Well, and that detailed plan has to be rooted in a clear objective too.
Yep.
You know, I mean, how many people do you know that, or even me and you, we've done it as well. We start some marketing thing, and I'm doing air quotes right now, whatever that thing is, and we don't even know what outcome we want.
Right. So how do you know you're winning if you don't have the goal?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, you got to get clear on that, create the strategy. And obviously one of those strategies is nurturing and keeping in touch with people, because, you know, again, we've said this here before, but, you know, people that buy from you, have already bought from you, are like 90% more likely to buy from you again.
Yep.
Okay. Because you've already built that relationship. And so I would say for the guy that's not listening or that's not engaging in some sort of regular nurturing campaign like you're offering here, my guess is he's probably leaving 30 to 50%, but whatever his revenue is now, if he's $1 million now, he's probably leaving $300,000 to $500,000 on the table a year.
Yep.
Is my guess. And I also think we've talked a lot about, and you know what I'm talking about with this, with our influencers. You know, if I'm a painter and a carpet guy, he's an influencer to me. He's in hundreds of homes a year. It's like, these are even people that I can nurture and build relationships with to stay on their radar, which is why I can say you've got 30 to 50% more money out there, because it's not just from your past customers, but it's from the people that you've referred, and they've referred you through the years as well to stay on each other's radar.
And it's the same sort of thing with those people, is you need to stay in their mindset. And I do a monthly newsletter to influencers, and I call it industry news, and I share what's hot in the public. This week, this month, I talked about wetland filters, and then I give a marketing tip, and I tell people, last month I told everyone about Less Annoying CRM and why I recommend it. So I am staying on top, and I send this to everyone. I send it to my bookkeeper, my accountant, our insurance
guy. I got it today, by the way.
Oh, see that?
It landed in my inbox today with like the wetland filters thing. Not that I even know what those things do, but I just remember seeing that. So there you go.
And so yeah, I got in your mind, right?
Yep.
And I do that every month. And so when I meet landscape contractors, because they are a huge referral source for us, their information right away goes into my database and they'll get this monthly newsletter. And that's just one way I am committing to keeping. And, you know, again, I'm calling, I'm reaching out. My husband, who owns the business with me, we have a list of people to visit every week. So it's never just one thing. It can't just be one thing, but it's also, you have to be doing multiple things all the time.
All right. So talk to me about the idea behind, just so people are clear, you have a separate email list that you call your influencers, and that's like other industry partners, vendors, mm-hmm. like that. What was the idea behind sending them something? And are you sending them the same things you're sending your past customer list?
No. So there's two different things we do. I had actually, when there's a group of influencers I strongly wanted to meet, and that is landscape contractors. And in my business, it's very complementary because we don't do what they do, and they tend not to do what we do very well.
Mm-hmm.
So earlier this year, I purchased a list from USA Info of 100 landscape contractors in the Philadelphia area. And I had very specific demographic information. They had to make more than 500,000, less than 10 million. That takes out Home Depot. You know, they had to have a certain amount of employees. And then it spit me out a list of about 90 people. And through them, I went through that list and I culled it down even further. I checked every single person. I looked into their companies. And then I sent them all a letter with a dream book. And a dream book is like our ideas book. It's a kind of wishes that you can come to life in your water feature. And I sent 100 of those out over the summer with a letter explaining who we were and, you know, letting them know if they ever have a customer with pond issues, please reach out. And that would be great. But if I just did that, it wouldn't be worth it. So then the next month, those people got a postcard also saying who we are and just reminding them if they ever have anyone. Now this month, they get the industry newsletter. Next month, they're going to get a postcard again. And then when winter comes, we're going to start calling each of them and trying to set up as much as possible one-on-one appointments.
Okay, So this is the long game you're playing.
Yeah. For this. Yes.
Yeah. And that that's important to note. Like there are quick hitting lead generating things. And then there are long-term lead generating strategies. And so this would fall under that. I mean, you send them a letter. They have no idea who you are.
Right.
Okay. But now you're on the radar and you differentiated because you didn't just send them a letter. You sent them a dream book, which I've seen is pretty dang nice that you guys do. And then you consistently just keep showing up, and I'm going to use another water analogy. Okay. But you know, we talk about, you got to be like water. You got to keep showing up, and over time, water wears down the rock because it keeps flowing over it and it keeps flowing. It's the same way with prospecting and building relationships and networking and all these things. I mean, if I recall, you even shared in the newsletter that I think I just got today about, you have one of your guys in a BNI networking group.
Uh-huh.
And one of the points that you were making was, guys, you got to stick with it.
Yeah.
You know, you got to keep showing up. You got to keep adding value. You got to keep being there because eventually somebody is going to say, hey, you're the one that does water features or whatever.
And that just happened to us recently. We've been in the BNI for almost a year, and I'll admit I'm very impatient at times. Okay.
Really?
A lot of times. And just slightly. And I was like, we're not getting your referrals. What's happening? And then I had an email introduction from this guy that our foreman who's in the group introduced me to this guy and said, I think you guys will be a good fit. And I reached out to him and I said, can we meet? And he said, sure, in January, you know, when his season's done. And I said, fine, I understand. And 3 days later, the guy sent me a lead. One of his customers just happened to reach out to him and said, do you know anyone that deals with koi ponds? And guess what? I was in his mindset. So he said, yeah, I do know someone. And he said, I haven't worked with them yet, but they come highly recommended and I've heard good things. He referred us and we got the job.
There you go. All because you kept showing up.
Yep.
And it's
literally kept showing up.
Literally kept showing up. And that's the same thing like with your list of landscapers and other influencers and things like that. And it's the same concept that we're talking about, nurturing your, you know, database of clients and things like that. So, well, Laura, I appreciate you being here today. And I know that, I highly encourage, you know, the water feature contractors of the world to check out what you got going. So if somebody wants to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
They can either email me at laura@mypontent.com. And that's MYPONDTENT.com. Or they can call me on my cell, 215-805-8257.
Well, good stuff. Well, Laura, I appreciate you being here. And I look forward to seeing how you continue to help many more contractors get more customers and make more profit in the years to come.
Well, thanks, Tom. I'm excited.
Awesome. Have a great day. And Travis, go ahead and bring in the guitars.